The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See live off the record with Trivago Line is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Faith Center Ministries, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance. Through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well today. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. We've had some alarming news lately and in times past about things that have been done to children, things that have been done to elderly people, and things that have been done to people in between. And we oftentimes, in our conversations, wonder, how could people do this? You know, what kind of a person does this? Rightly so, we ask these questions. Who molests a baby, girl, especially someone who is supposed to be in a position of trust, who is supposed to love that baby girl? Who molests a baby boy, a male who does it, who's supposed to be in a position of trust and love for that baby boy? Who beats to death someone who they supposedly love, married to? Who rapes someone that they are married to, who decides they don't want to have sexual relations with them? We wonder, how does this happen? How are these things possible? Who shoots down 3 and 4 people? Who shoots one time? Who shoots down serially people hired to do so? Who does these kinds of things in the United States of America, in Maine? Guns down 22 people. Who does that? What kind of person does that? We wonder, how is this possible? Right? Can I tell you something? As cruel and as awful as these things are, as much as they shock us, disgust us, frustrate us, I don't wonder that kind of thing. I really don't. I don't wonder about it at all. Why not? I don't wonder about it because, and I've said this before, there is a spectrum of human mentality, human attitude, human morality, human ethical behavior and acceptance. A spectrum that runs from the very, very noblest, meaning someone who would give their life for somebody, someone who would give all their substance for somebody, someone who would yield their own interest for the interest of other people, to the most malicious extreme of people who are prepared to slaughter in the millions, which history has recorded, and people who are prepared to do the vilest things to people, and everything in between. This gift of human choice, of free will, comes with a host of options for choosing. And whether shaped by nature or shaped by nurture, whether generated by genetic predisposition or by habit of mind formed by practice of behavior, every extreme and every possibility of people and behavior exist in our world, in our country. And the bigger our populations, the more exposed they are to options, to information, to behaviors, the more the possibilities exist to see any single kind of conduct and behavior on planet Earth. And we ourselves fall on some point of that spectrum in terms of what we're prepared to do, whether that's to lie, to cheat, to steal, to hate, to envy, etc. I don't wonder, maybe I am curious about whether or not was it a genetic predisposition that bent your behavior in that direction, or was it an environmental set of factors like upbringing or influence by peers or information learned or discovered or practice picked up or habit picked up? Which one of those or combination of the two that did it? I don't wonder. I'm not alarmed. There's nothing new under the sun. And again, that don't stop us from being shocked. That don't stop us from being appalled. That doesn't stop us from being absolutely hurt and offended and angry. But I don't wonder. Because these extremes of human behavior have been on display abroad and at home, and sometimes in increasing fashion for decades and decades and yea, even hundreds and hundreds of years. And I fear it may get worse, because as we loosen our grip on the notion and mentality of community, as we abandon ties to each other in the form of brotherhood and sisterhood, as we loosen the bond of family and trade them in for self-serving interest, for a meanness as we trade in individuality for community, it will get worse. As our hearts get ever less sensitive to the consequences of our behavior and the need to be empathetic toward other people, I fear it will get worse. As our communities become more and more detached and people get isolated or isolate themselves, I fear it. So I don't wonder that it's possible a child could be sleeping in a car, or children could be sleeping in a car. Possible for children to leave home and the parent don't say anything about it and end up shacking up with some adult, running off with some adult, trading sex for material benefits. Honestly, I don't wonder that that is possible anymore. I don't wonder. I see this as part and parcel of the string and spectrum of human behavior and conduct that exists, and that it represents ever more intense degrees of conduct some of us are demonstrating in our indifference toward other people, in our tendency to see other people as other and not sister or brother, in our attitude that what matters more to me than anything else is me and mine. And frankly, these things have been predicted, forecasted, and indeed given precedence before. Whether you look to religious books or you look to secular prophets or analysts or psychiatrists or sociologists or culturalists in assessing the way and dynamics of the evolving human communities, they have seen how these things are possible and shall remain possible. And yes, we can continue to talk about them. We can. But my fear is that our dialogue about them is more an expression of rage, and in some instances, I say a false rage, because it gives us the opportunity to blame someone, blame the church, blame the government, blame the family, blame the this, blame the that, without acknowledging in a very real way how at the most episodic level, at the most atomic level, maybe even at the most quantum level, that what we see is an evolution of our own attitudes and habits toward each other. Some of it rooted in mental deficiency, some of it rooted in ignorance, some of it rooted in unbridled to discipline self and deny self gratification, some of it rooted in culture of looseness and slackness, in a culture of sexuality, all kinds of things. The human person, we, are complex human beings. It's five of us can be exposed to the same environment, and each of us pick up from that environment different things that lead us and influence us to different kinds of behavior. Yes, there are things that work on us broadly, and yes, there are forces and factors that can shape us, many of us, in a general direction, but at the end of the day, individually, we are experiencing life. Individually, we are thinking through life. Individually, we are processing life. And individually, we are acting out life. And who knows what tips the scale for any of us. For a child tinkering on the precipice of should I smoke it? Don't smoke it. Should I hit it? Don't hit it. Should I embrace it? Don't embrace it. Should I do it? Don't do it. Who knows what it is? Maybe it was an insult by a peer. Maybe it was a beating by a parent. Maybe it was a enticement by a family member, adult, or maybe it was an enticement by some seemingly generous stranger that impressed on me, ain't nobody care about me, ain't nobody care about us, you got to do it for yourself. Maybe it was a song that made an impression on me and gave me a nugget of some attitude or notion that said, this is the way to go. Who knows? Whoever knows. And all we get to see at the end of the day is the behavior. And then we come on these radio stations, we come on these in the newspaper, and we go in our corners, and we oversimplify the whole thing. Oh, the only reason why they're doing that is this. Oh, the only reason why they're doing that was that. Oh, the only reason why. How could we oversimplify something that if you are a believer in God, God himself could not fix? He created two human beings. They messed up. He flooded the world and left eight, and eventually they messed up. He brought a people out of Egypt, and they messed up. And it goes on and on and on. Why? Because this powerful gift given to us, given to every man in prison and out of prison, every woman in prison and out of prison, given to every single human being on the planet. Free will, choice. And what moves our choice? Why do we do some of the dumb, stupid things we do? Why do we? You hear what I said? We, Shivago, Sean Lang included, do some of the dumb, stupid things we do. The immoral, unethical things we do. Why do we? We know better even. Some of us are educated and learned. Some of us, the most church-going people on planet Earth. And we do stupid, unethical things. Who physically abuse their people? Or verbally abuse their people? Or sexually abuse their people? Politicians who are supposed to demonstrate a public trust, who also verbally abuse their people, sexually abuse people maybe, right? Or physically abuse people. Teachers and lawyers and doctors and judges and others, all kind of people, some known and unknown. Why do we do what we do?
Welcome to World Investor Month. Let's talk about how investments behave when inflation sticks around. In a world of rising prices, some investments may shine, like commodities or real estate. Others, like bonds, may lose their luster. To navigate this, diversify your investments. Spread your money across different asset classes to reduce risk. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Get started by following us on social media.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that? But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian, news and views that matter since 1844.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Hello, I'm Simeon Hall. I grew up through a dead-end corner called Choke Neck Alley off Market Street. I dropped out of school in the fifth grade and worked as a carpenter's helper for Michael Pine Company. But it was while in the alley I discovered my life's calling was to preach the gospel. A Catholic nun at Aquinas night classes inspired me when she told the class that we all were made in God's image. It's a long way from Choke Neck Alley to preaching throughout the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and all the inhabited continents of the world. The circumstances of your birth need not dictate what you can do or where you can go in this life. Young man, drop your gun. Find your life's highest purpose. Lift yourself from the gutters of crime. Your next crime might lead to your death, and loved ones will have to bury you. Eternity is just ahead. In which section will you spend it? Non-smoking or smoking? Heaven or hell? You are made in God's image. So this week, attend a church of your choice and reconnect with God.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4312. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Talking about some of these horrific things that we hear happening in the country and we get alarmed about, we get angry about, we get frustrated about and the like. What it is we can actually do about it, what it is we could actually do about the things that we are hearing, observing. And I was saying, you know, I honestly, I'm not alarmed by it because I think that in truth, we have seen throughout the course of history, global history and our own history, too many instances in which things like this happen because human behavior, being as it is, can manifest in all kinds of ways, in all kinds of shocking, stunning, ridiculous behavior. And so the question for us becomes one of, in light of that, what ought we to do? You know, what do you do? I say, first of all, you put safety, personal safety, and the safety of those you care about, the vulnerable in particular, you put that first, and you just think to yourself, in light of these possibilities, in light of the fact, I don't know that person. Even when I know them, I don't know what they're capable of. Can I exercise the kind of safety that can minimize, reduce the risk me and my loved ones and the people I care about and my neighbors and them face from such possibilities? What can I do? What can we do? You know what I mean? Especially when it comes to children. That first responsibility of protection belongs to parents. Listen, whether you like it or not, listen, mommy, daddy, guardian, don't get vexed with me. Don't get vexed with me. A child, an underage child, on their own, who gets subject to abuse and violation, that child's first protector, you. It's you and me, as parents, as guardians, that's on us. And quite frankly, the extent to which we don't go all out to protect them, you can't 100% protect them because you can't be everywhere they are. But the extent to which we don't do all in our power to protect them, we hold some culpability for their abuse. I'm sorry that you may get angry and upset, but if you're a parent and you're a parent of a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, and so forth and so forth, even if they run away from you, even if they're disgusting children, as we like to say, no, man, you don't need to be popular with them. But you do all in your power. You go to the police and you say to the police, listen, I'm doing everything in my power, but this child ain't gonna listen. They run away. They're doing this and the next. Let the police go find them. Tell your neighbors, let's go find them. And you try your very best to put them in a protective environment. You cannot just let that child loose. You cannot just let that child go. No, man. That's on you, though. Don't get mad with me. That's on you. On me if we're doing that. Right? We are their first protectors. We are their first protectors. We have a responsibility to keep them safe, to keep them in a situation of mental, physical abuse. And if we're the ones that are the abusers, you know, if you're a religious person, you know what Jesus say? You do harm to these same little children, you cause them to stray, it'd be better for you to take a millstone. You know what a millstone is? That ain't no little stone. That's a huge, big stone. Tie around your neck and throw yourself in the sea. Because you are violating the most innocent of the innocent. You know what that is? That means? That means you take an advantage, man. You have every advantage physically and intellectual and others over them. And you are operating like a, you are operating like a demonic, satanic, despotic person to abuse them that way. And in doing so, you are subjecting yourself to enormous judgment, because it is that loving responsibility for protection is ours, and to violate it, to breach it, is a problem. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Rolls. She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Listen, discuss all these issues for sure. Try to think of ways that through liberation, we might be able to do something about them. But if you have responsibility for a child, you have responsibility, act to protect. Don't, you may want to be popular with your children. You may want them to think you are their friend, but their safety and protection supersedes them liking you because you fun and let them do all the things they want to do. Think protection first, because the unsafe child is not going to be able to realize their potential. An unsafe child, a child abused and victimized and mentally abused, is not going to be able to realize their fullest potential if that continues in their life. And so what happens is when they are not protected, when they are not kept safe, what happens is they get abused, and this abuse leads them sometimes down a dark road of self-destruction, of relationship instability, of perpetuated abuse for themselves, of self-hatred, of self-loathing. And they therefore never understand their own dignity and humanity and all the ways in which they can become human beings contributing meaningfully to their family, their communities, and the like. And after the fact, it's behind the eight ball in terms of trying to help them think, act to protect. Sometimes teach them to protect themselves to the extent to which we are able to. Keep them safe, man. Don't be scared to tell a child, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you go there unless I or somebody responsible I trust takes you. I'm not going to do it. And yeah, they can cry. Yeah, they can get sad. And yeah, they're going to complain. But that's all right. Better them be safe than you and them be sorry because they failed and you failed and we failed to protect them. That burden is on us. And after the family, that burden falls on the state to protect. I heard somebody say, the police need to be out there. You living in a car, the police can't be, you know, we got maybe 3,000 police officers to police us. How the police can be all over New Providence, all over Grand Bahama? I see police cars, they are driving and scouring areas, but they can't be everywhere. They won't know. They can't always know. Sometimes we know and we don't say nothing to the police. But they do bear a responsibility to try and do their best to monitor the society for danger, for risk, for criminal behavior and conduct. But if you're in a home, if somebody's in a home with a child, abusing the child, police can't know. Now, if a teacher, or educator, or guardian, or somebody else says, you know what, this child has been acting strangely, or this child's behavior has changed significantly, and so some of us can arm ourselves with information that can help us pick up red flags of abuse. And we can say, you know what, this child used to be fun-loving, outgoing. This child now is withdrawn. The child seems ever so anxious. The child seems reluctant to go home. The child is now lashing out in ways that didn't happen before. Something must be going on. And if we spot that and see that, we have to have the courage to step up and say, listen, man, you all need to check this child out. Y'all, at the very least, you go to report that to social services, because the minister of social services, the minister who's now the prime minister of the Bahamas, is the ward of every child who is who's responsible. Tell them, your child seems to me at risk. And the teachers have a responsibility. If you are a counselor, if you are a pastor, a youth director, and a child tells you they've been abused, and you don't report that to police, you are culpable. Under law, we have an obligation to report such a thing when we hear of it happening. Why are we doing it, though? Not to protect ourselves alone, but doing it to protect the child. We're doing it to try to prevent that child from having and living a life of hell and horror at the hands of people who are supposed to care for them, people who are supposed to protect them, or strangers who have no desire or caring or heart for them, who are trapped in some sinister bit of habit of mind that leads them to abuse someone else. But don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Act to protect. Act to protect. Right? Act to protect. Keep them children safe. Your child, they know 10-year-old and 11-year-old and 9-year-old should be wandering the streets and stuff by themselves. If you're a parent doing that, come on, man, let's check ourselves. Come on. I ain't coming down on you. I'm saying let's check ourselves, man. Mommy, daddy, Uncle Lonnie, cousin. Don't let's do that, man. Don't let's let these children walk around, roam around by themselves. Young children, not in this society. You know why? Unfortunately, we know predators exist out there. We know that. Well, why are we surprised? And we don't know what a predator looks like. He could have on the sharpest suit on planet Earth. Look like they fresh out of GQ. She could be the nicest looking human being on the planet. You don't know what a predator looks like. They may be your cousin. They may be your uncle, auntie, etc. If you ain't sure, don't leave your children with them. And if your children seem unwilling or reluctant to go with them, you respect that. Give your children the license to tell you when something is wrong. You know, I tell my son, I say, listen, if I ask you to do something and you get mad, you angry, even if you won't cuss me, you could tell me that. You could say, Daddy, listen, you know, I really want to curse you for making me do this. You know, I don't have a problem with you telling me that. I don't suggest you curse me because that could be a problem. But you could tell me. Why? Because I want my children to be free to say X, Y, and Z is the case. Because a child who is afraid to speak up would be afraid to say, and people are touching them in ways they shouldn't touch them, and doing things to them they shouldn't be done to them, and giving them things they shouldn't be given to them, and so forth. What child should be wandering out? Child wandering out, coming home to your house 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night. Shouldn't happen, man. We shouldn't do that. My son, sometimes he said, Daddy, I could go down to the park. And I, just in the day, I say, yeah, and you know what time to come back. We didn't discuss that. And if it's getting too close to that time and I don't see him making his way, I go and jump in my car. And the children see me out there meeting him on the basketball court, say, come on, let's go. That's my responsibility. I can't protect him everywhere. Much as I can. That's my job. My duty. So we have to do more than simply be outraged about these things. We have to act to protect. And you can't protect where you are not. So if you're in New Province, you can't protect a child in Eleuthera. That's on the people in Eleuthera. If you are in Eleuthera, you can't protect the children in Assaw. That's on, you are not in somebody else's home. You're in your own home. Protect yours. So each one of us, the extent to which we provide protection for our children, we minimize the circumstances in which we're going to hear news of their abuse. And that's the best we could do. And sometimes, even with that, things will happen. But at least we would have tried our very best. Listen to me. The economic circumstances of this country, the social circumstances of this country, the spiritual circumstances of this country, and I'm not like some of them people who I hear talking on the radio. Listen, I do not believe the bombers are going to hell. I do not believe our institutions are failing. I do not believe that the country is failing. That's absolute nonsense. I do not believe that. You couldn't live in a country that is happening to. We have far too much civility in this country, far too much positivity and positive things happening in this country to say something like that. But I can tell you this much. Because there are enough people out there who are prepared to do wicked, evil, dangerous things, you have to respect the probability of running into such people, and therefore put yourself and your children and others in the best position to be safeguarded. Predator, after we are angry with what the predator has done, has already done it. And even when the go to court and get prosecuted and get found guilty and go get sentenced, they've already done it. Already done it. Even might be in his or her heart convicted and feeling embarrassed and guilty about having done what they did. Still, the child, the person, has to live with the consequences of their actions, that abuse. And in the instances where it could have been prevented, is where we want to have affected such prevention. That's all we could do. And that has happened. You know, we have prevented abuse of many children by our own protection of them. We have. Many a parents have done it. Many a thousands of parents in the Bahamas have done it, protected children, and that's why their children have grown up. My mother did it. Right? I don't know what every story is in every child and my mother's children, but I could only tell you for myself and others who have not indicated any such thing. My mother don't joke around. You wasn't gonna go wander all over the place like that. You know, even though back in the day parents were a little less restrained to let us go and play around and wander during the summers and in the afternoons, etc. I guess because they felt, based on incident reports, that things were safer. But over time, like for instance, when they started hearing during trick-or-treat or Halloween, people were putting razors in apples, that's what you heard now, or poison and this and that. Boy, my mommy then pulled back. Say, no, you could go over there. You could go over there, but don't go down further down there. Why? They were trying to protect. And that's the best you could do. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back from the news break, we want to pick up another issue.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope again that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4316. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. I want to thank many of you who have responded to the information I provided about the Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program, a program designed to help 11th and 12th grade students to develop their leadership skills, to meet new people, new friends, new connections, to travel, and to just have a really life-changing experience. Some of you parents, I'm so impressed with y'all ain't joking. Some of the students ain't joking. They have sent in their information. Again, tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock, I shall cease this invitation to you. So if you have an 11th grader, or a 12th grader, and you want them to participate in this life-changing program, you want them to be able to travel and get some experience and exposure at the expense of the program, if you want them to be able to develop leadership skills, they mean a world to your decision-making, your problem-solving, your organizing, your planning, your communication, your confidence, your execution ability, your interpersonal skills, your intrapersonal skills, to your effectiveness in performing at school or in the workplace or on a business or any business. If you want that kind of exposure for your child, if you are the parent or the guardian of that child or you are the child listening today, text me or WhatsApp me really on 4393043. That's 4393043. Or you can email us at BYLD program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E, the English version of it, BYLDprogram@gmail.com. We will send you the application form and the information on the program, additional information, so you can get that child started. Because come next month, there will be a meeting launch for the program in New Providence, which we have put off because, unfortunately, the schools were not as responsive as we thought. Maybe that's our fault. Maybe it's theirs. It doesn't matter. We just want the students to get this opportunity. But you can text us in Grand Bahama. The program is in Grand Bahama. The program is in New Providence. Abaco, Exuma, Andres, we're trying to get to you. We're trying to get to you. So even if you have an interest in registering students, send it in. We're working on something that can facilitate you, but at least we'll know. Send it in, and we're happy to take them. Abaco, Bimini, Berry Islands, and Eleuthera, Exuma, and Andros. You can send us some information, but we need the name of the child, a contact for the child, the school of the child, in the email or the WhatsApp sent. Do so, because after tomorrow, this will be closed, and I'm sorry I'm not going to hear, well, I didn't, I'm sorry, but if you want to get on it, some grandparents call their parents and say, please contact Mr. Lang and get that information for so and such and such and such and such. They called me, they texted me, and so I was very proud of them trying to get this done for those young people. That's people who understand what it takes to get people moving. So there you have it. Please feel free. Many of you would have heard during the height of the pandemic how thousands of children did not show up virtually for school for whatever reason. Some put the number as high as 7,000+. For whatever reason, these children seem to have dropped off out of the system. And some people have wondered, we haven't heard since, what the deal is, what the situation is, etc. Because that's certainly something that would be alarming for us to have persist and continue. And so, having heard some dialogue about that, I took opportunity to reach out to the Ministry of Education to find out what was going on, what is, in fact, the case with these students. So let me tell you what the ministry sent to me. Said the preliminary analysis of attendance data from the Education Management Information System, also known as EMS, for 73, so that's just this September gone, is of 95.7% across all schools, with some schools recording attendance rates as high as 99.5%. So, across all schools, how many of the students are back in school? 95.7%, almost 6%. And in some schools, as much as 99.5%, almost 100%. So, if you take the average of 4% across all schools, and you think that there are about 60,000+ students within the public education system, that was the number I had before. That would be about 1,200 students still not yet reported. Now, whether or not that is relative to numbers we knew prior to the pandemic, I do not know. It says, while these numbers reflect the anticipated progress we hoped to see on attendance, the Find Every Child Committee is furthering its investigation to ensure that we can accurately report and be confident about these numbers. Teachers and school administrators are required to log their daily attendance and absences of students. This allows education officers at headquarters to download various reports and analyze them and report to the Bahamian citizenry on school attendance performance. The committee over the coming weeks will be reconciling paper or physical records with what the EMS system reports. Additionally, the school attendance unit is currently commencing a capacity review process. And the capacity review diagnosis that would be helpful to understand the existing capacity within attendance team, but most importantly, the support system across the ministry to deliver on our attendance goals. The school attendance team recognizes that returning students to the classroom is a complex exercise that requires interagency support, as some matters require support and advice from monthly from social services, national security, immigration, and health. The attendance unit will continue with monthly walkabouts with school attendance officers and monitors patrolling communities and more tailored interventions to identify those that are regularly in school, says that. So if the EMS system is to be believed, then according to education, they're saying that the attendance is far better than what we saw during the height of the pandemic. And they're saying in some schools it's exceptionally, almost close to 100%, but they are going to test the system against other digital and paper records to make sure that it is reliable. So there you have it. There you have it. Maybe that's good news for us. Maybe you don't think so, but that's at least the information provided by the Ministry of Education, and I want to thank them for providing that. The Minister of Education also reported on the same in the House of Assembly during her debate, so that's not entirely. Children may find that their only safety is at school time, and maybe at school time is when they get to have some means of detecting some abnormality in their behavior or conduct born of abuse they may be suffering. Sometimes teachers, God bless our teachers, God bless them who are trying to tease out that intellectual, academic, mental potential of a child who spend more time and effort than any pay could reward. God bless these teachers for that. But for those teachers who are especially sensitive to try and connect with children in ways that can inform them that, you know, something ain't right here. Something not right here. Something's not right. This child ain't behaving. So they are able maybe sometimes to save lives, as some of them have done. Some teachers have done that. Some teachers have taken it on themselves to bring children into their own shelter in order to rescue them from what might be or seem an abusive situation, right? Our churches can be very helpful in this regard because churches know that their congregants are people too. They know that they do things like that too. They can be tempted and yield to temptation. And that sometimes in the church, you got to have a sensitivity exercise of church people. Notwithstanding, they come to church all the time. Listen, man, you can't abuse the children. Don't abuse them verbally. Don't abuse them sexually. Don't abuse them religiously. Don't abuse them in any kind of way. Don't abuse the children. God would not be pleased with that. Christ would not be pleased with that. That is not the way. So sometimes you get them. Sometimes you got to tell them, listen, be sensitive enough to know and pick up when your child is behaving differently. When your child is saying to you, something has happened to me. You know, there are children who get abused, who tell their parent, and for shame, they might tell the mommy. They might tell the daddy, and for shame, the mommy or the daddy would deny it. Say, Nadia, so you just lying. You making things up. making things up. And therefore, ignore it for years and for years and for years while that child, that poor child, has been abused. Maybe the church, in speaking to the congregation, can say, no, don't do that. Don't do it that way. You have an obligation to try to corroborate that child's story. You have an obligation to try to investigate that child's story. You have an obligation to try to find out the truth for the sake of the child, no matter who you may offend in questioning or confronting. You have an obligation to do so. The church can do that. Sometimes church leaders can go further. Say, you know what? Let's go into our communities and let's share information with our communities that warns them, that guides them, that entreats them to look out for, to protect the children. Church can do that. Sometimes churches can lead congregants to a feast about beating that child the way we beat that child, saying nasty things to that child the way we said that nasty things to that child, even though he's Christian, speaking in tongue, telling that child, you're so disgusting, you ain't gonna never amount to nothing. God ain't pleased with you. You got the devil inside of you. You letting Satan control you. And the child soaks that up. Next thing you know, that's the life the child won't live. That's the life the child is living. And maybe the church can warn against such things and encourage against such things. And maybe in the process, save a life or two or three or four, 10,000. Save life not only in terms of physical living, but in terms of quality of their mental and social life, because they prevented some stuff from happening to that child. And then businesses can be very helpful in this way, by allowing their businesses to be a place of sharing information, whether that's in written form or that's in electronic form, or allowing for speakers to come in to sensitize their employees to various things. Listen to me, if you are a leader of a business, a general manager, president, CEO, get your HR people on these kind of things. You get on these kind of things if you're not that big. It might take just a half an hour, 20 minutes to get that information shared, to be able to sensitize your employees. Maybe even the citizen, man, I want you to know we aren't going to support any hint of any such stuff being done by any of our employees, because they do not represent that kind of in the company. Those are not the principles by which we operate in the company. We'd rather lose you than lose a child to you, because you may be functioning in that way. And if you need some help, you need counseling, we can direct you to where that can be found, because we want to save our children from this kind of abuse. Right? So act to protect. Don't just talk it. Act to protect. Act to protect where you can. Our lives get busy, right? Our lives get full. We have our own situation to have to contend with, to be about. But boy, let me tell you, sometimes something in you say, you know what? Something ain't right with that child. I'm not right. Maybe just a conversation can lead to a breakdown and to a revelation that can rescue a child. I personally know of young men and young women who have been sexually abused. I know it because people close to them they've been abused, and their abusers have been caught or not identified, but the family or the neighbor, they know. And let me tell you something. I watch some of them, some, walk around the island like a zombie. Walk around the island talking out their head. I watch some of them, sometimes they seem to be stable. Then the rich lady, you see them,
they on a different wicket, different part. And then they come back to circumstances where some of them children, man, they wrestle with conflict in their lives, wrestle with identity issues, wrestle with their sexuality. Because as a child, somebody abused them, penetrated them. And now they have to live. A lot of times, you know, a lot of times my understanding is they live with the notion, it's my fault. I did something. Or even if it's just, I should never have been there. And then that creates an additional set of conflicts for them. Right? We can act to protect. You say, I see these children wandering around the place and school is supposed to be in, and you say you just see it and then you come on the radio and you talk about it. What you did after you saw it? What did you do? Nothing? When I see children wandering during school hours, I ask them, well, how come you're not in school? Why are you here? Huh? Oh, it's midterm break? Oh, okay. And I'll check. Sometimes I go and say, listen, I saw a couple of your students, because you know they ain't going to give you a name if they know they're doing something wrong. Y'all might want to check on that. Right? If you can do something, do something. Right? You can't come on the radio and express your rage and disappointment and discouragement and what have you if you have not decided whatever you to do so. Because you've decided protecting these children matter. And that's why it's good to have an interest in whether they attend in school. It's good to have an interest in what they're doing when they attend in school. If you're a parent or guardian, it's good to have an interest in how they are attending school and what they're doing in school. My son brought me his progress report the other day. And he said to me, before I even see it, I can tell you now, I got this number of A's, this number of B's, and I get a couple of D's. I said, D? I said, you a D? I said, a C? I said, let me see this progress report. So before I commented fully on it and made a judgment of it, he and I together looked at the thing. So their school provides progress reports. It's excellent now. Their school provides progress reports that gives you a detailed assessment of what they've done in quizzes, what they've done in assignments, what they've done in homeworks, etc. So every single one of these boys' quizzes, he got very high marks. But then I noticed homework, assignments, some of them not done. So I said to him, I said, you know, bro, how could you not do an assignment? I said, I have failed you if you haven't done an assignment. He said, no, daddy, these assignments in school. I said, but how you could explain to me you ain't doing an assignment? He said, I did them. I just ain't turned them out. I thought you ain't turned them in yet. This is a progress report, so it's in his final report. So I said, no, we can't be about that business. He said, where are you going to get 50% on a homework? I said, homework is freebie. Freebie, if you pay attention on that time. I said, nice. I ask you if you get homework, and you tell me oftentimes, no. I said, but the reason why I ask you is because I want to see them. Right? So I missed a couple of them. So you know what's going to happen now, right? She said, no, I realize it, but I'm saying I'm very impressed with your quiz results, because that means to me that you are understanding the material, you are able to recount the material, and you are able to take your exams and do very well on them. My point being that we have to take the kind of interest in these kids to know what's going on with them. Don't let them make you feel like you're bothering them, man. Listen to me. I tell my son, your full-time job is to go to school and learn. My full-time job is to ensure you have the ability to go do that. If I could go to my job, you guys go to yours. And if I can try to do mine well, you guys do yours well. So we got to have that conversation. Take an interest. Don't mind bothering them children. Don't mind them children feeling like they ain't want to be, you ain't all that friendly, they ain't want to hang out with you. That's your business. I don't need you to hang out with me. I need you to develop into a human being who could hang out with yourself and hang out with other people and be a productive, responsible person. That's what I need. And that's what I have to do. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including that, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
It's World Investor Month, and we're demystifying the world of investments. Let's talk about risk. Imagine investing as a tightrope walk. On one side, you risk falling. On the other, you have potential rewards. All investments carry some level of risk, even the safest ones. Understanding these risks is crucial to making smart investment decisions. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Learn more by following us on social media.
Join Bishop Henry Fernandez, Shirley Caesar, and Jonathan Nelson for the Becoming My Best Self Conference on November 2nd to the 4th at the Baja Mar Hotel. You do not want to miss these 3 days of anointed music, worship, and the Word. Get your tickets now. For one price, you can worship with Shirley Caesar and Jonathan Nelson and participate in every session for the entire weekend. Register now at henryfernandez.org or purchase your tickets at Sunshine Marathon Mall, the Galleria entrance. Contact 242-601-2012 for more info. Seats are limited. It's time to level up at the Becoming Your Best Self Conference. Meet us there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, however, now drizzling Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Can I also say something to yourselves that I have learned about how we rear or how we nurture and guide our children? Children are sometimes made by us to feel like they have no agency in themselves. What do I mean by agency? Meaning that they are sometimes made to feel like they are the property of their parents and that they don't have the ability to express a thought or view or feeling or observation about their own treatment. Because they are to be seen and not heard, always just what they are told.
And so psychologically, that makes them feel like they have no ownership of themselves for too long. What happens sometimes, I understand, and I know I have psychologists and them, psychiatrists and them who listen to the show, and so please feel free to weigh in and let me know. But I understand that sometimes this gets translated into any adult has agency over me. So it's not only that my parents own me or can tell me what to do, and therefore I must do it, but that any adult has similar agency. So if an adult say, come go here, come go with me, I need to go. If an adult say, go over there and wait for me, I must do that. Even if in my head I say, I'm scared. Even if in my head I say, this don't feel right. Even if in my heart I feel this is a, even if the touch and the behavior is something that makes me feel uncomfortable, the fact of the matter is I have come to be, to believe that I don't really have agency over myself, and every adult has agency over me. And so I then end up being molested because I couldn't say no. I couldn't say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to everywhere. Well, I tell my children, I tell my son, my children are the adults now, the bigger, the older ones of them, the adults. I tell my 15-year-old, I say, bro, if you have any doubts about it, you tell them. You tell them for me if you want to tell them for me. No. Not doing it. Not going there. Don't do that to me. Listen to me. If you don't, I can scream. Or if you do, I can throw something at you. I can kick you. I can do something. But I tell them that. I tell them that. I don't know you. I tell him, listen, if I didn't tell you somebody coming to pick you up, that could be your auntie, uncle, or something else. You tell them, no, I'm not going, daddy didn't tell me. Or you tell them, call me on the spot with you there and tell them, let me tell them, yes, I did send your auntie to pick you up. I did send your uncle to pick you up. But you do what is necessary to satisfy yourself that you are safe. You have agency in yourself. You have a right not to be abused by anybody. Anyone. Your mommy and your daddy don't have no right to slap you upside your head, to put bruises on you. Your mommy and your daddy don't have no right to do that. None. I am telling you, your mommy and your daddy don't have no right to do that. None whatsoever. I don't care how much Bahamian we say we are. I don't have no right to tear your skin with no whip and no lash.
Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic Treater, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian, news and views that matter since 1844.
always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9. How come? Because I start talking about us tearing up these children. You know, cut me out. I have not heard from many of you today. Many of you today. How come? What happened? What's going on? This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Any child born in the 70s and 80s, if your parents tell you to do something, you did it. 80s and 70s kids did not have no choices, but we did not turn out bad. Do you think the kids today have too many choices? I think the kids from yesterday had as many choices as the kids today. I just think that maybe we are a little looser with the liberties they have to exercise those choices. It's not that there's too many choices. Maybe it is the way that we are letting them make choices that could make them vulnerable to abuse. And so you want your child to have as many choices as possible, but you want them to be able to make choices that actually enhance their well-being and protect them as opposed to harm them. Says this text says males do things like that, not man. Okay, so it's just the males, not a man. A real man, you're saying, wouldn't do that. It says, bottom line, we simply have to be engaged with our children every step of the way. Amen, 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 amen. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. The first thing I do every morning when I get to work is to sign into my son's school page to check grades, assignments, homework, etc. All A's and B's so far, first year at SAC. Wonderful. Yeah, you got to keep checking. You got to keep checking on them children, man. You got to keep making sure we know as much. You know, my son, I asked him, so how was your school today? He says, you know, they always say the same thing. It was good. Or sometimes if I hear him say, then I say, what happened? What happened? What happened? If even when he say good, I say, what was good about it today? Yeah, you know, I did this or I did that and the next thing, and I might ask him some questions about other things and so forth, because I'm trying to gauge, first of all, his attitude and emotional disposition. So it isn't even sometimes just to get information. I'm just trying to gauge how he's feeling. Sometimes I ask him, I say, how are you feeling, man? Are you happy? Are you sad? I say, how are you feeling? I mean, how you feel about... And he'll tell me, I say, you're feeling optimistic about life and feeling excited about life. Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to find out. So I try to get a little deep with him. I honestly, because they ain't going to volunteer talk to you, you know. They don't volunteer. The only thing they want to do is go home and play. No, but I need to get some information. So take that opportunity to do so. You have to stay engaged. That's the reality. Texas, good show as usual. Appreciate it. Thank you, man. This text says, Mr. Lang, these kids, they have a choice to go to church. We could not dream about not going to church. If a child today have a choice to go to church, that ain't because the child have the choice. They always have the choice to go. The question is whether they suffer consequences from not going, or you've said to them they have to go. Most times if you see a child ain't going to church, it isn't because they have the choice. It's because we are not letting them go. We are not taking them there. We are not sending them there. We are not dropping them there. And most often, that's because we ain't getting ourselves. Right? So So at the end of the day, you can't blame. Listen, man, I tell people that about leadership, right? If you're leading a group or team of people, you can't get mad to perform if you're the leader. Because at some point, when you realize the group isn't performing and you don't do anything to make any adjustments, that's on you. That's why you're there. You're leading. You're there to ensure that they maximize the occasions on which they do the right set of things and minimize the occasion on which they do the wrong set of things. That's the job. You can't turn around and just blame them. It may well be true that some are slack. It may well be true that some are uncooperative. But if you keep them in place, make no adjustments, make no changes. Some people say, oh, but I don't have the power, the authority to do that. Yeah, but you have the power and authority to document. If your supervisor allowing something to happen, you could still at least document and say, I want you to know, I thought so-and-so should have been removed, or this one should have been dealt with, and so forth. I just wanted to put it on the record. I thought, you only could do what you could do. Says, point taken, say, iron sharpens iron. Yes, indeed. That's what we do to each other. We sharpen each other. All right? And we most, listen to me, let me, Bamins, can I tell you something? I am not in the group of people who believe you have failed. I am not. Parents in the Bahamas in general, I'm not in that group. I think, listen, man, you move around this society, you see a lot of people respectful. Good morning, good afternoon. How you doing? They are able to get along with people in the workplaces, in the schools, and in the churches, and that kind of stuff. We're able to be civil. We produce lots of great people who do lots of wonderful things in society. That ain't no accident. It's culture. That's nurturing. So I don't fall in that category of us having this, but we got far too many disasters. And that's a real problem. Too many disasters. We have to acknowledge that. And so all it is, you could only do your best to try to rectify where the challenge has been made, where challenges exist. And that's all it's about. None of us have gotten it all together right. None. I know I've made some of my own mistakes. Did it incorrectly, poorly. I'm talking about my parenting. I know so. Thank God for his grace that allowed them children to survive even my foolishness, my mistakes or ignorance. And you know, the first set of children is be the ones who get that the most. Because we ain't doing nothing but experimenting and practicing on them. Shooting from the hip. Fumbling our way in the dark with them. This great show again, Mr. Lang. In my opinion, the physical scolding back in the day may have been wrong, but in most instances it worked. I'm just certain that it won't be as effective today as it was in the years gone by. And even then, there were downsides to it, just my opinion. Yeah. I don't know. I do think it served a purpose, especially if it meant to stop us from doing immediately some things that we would know as stupid. Because a lot of times when we got beaten, it was because we did something right there and then that our parents thought was just stupid, right? Trying to push the fork inside the electrical outlet. Hmm? Slapping your little sister. Oh, fight them. And things like that. Yeah, you get spanked and beaten and you ain't gonna do that no more. But did that stop us from other kinds of things that we know we shouldn't have been doing? Maybe not. No. Some of them same people you see who have been accused of some of the worst atrocities in our country and crimes, they get beaten a lot. They'll tell you. They will tell you that. They ain't stop them. So I ain't know about that. I don't know. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I'm listening to the show. As I listen, I'm learning from you some things as well. The show is great as usual. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to hear that we are helping, and we want to. I'm a share what I could share. I don't have every piece of information. I don't know everything, but I'm sure. Listen, we can take our final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, right? So you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
It's the Battle of the Bras, sponsored by Canoe, and you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live for the remaining moments of the show. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We have a text here that says, I also feel if parents would make more time for their children, it might mitigate the amount of scolding necessary to get children to do what they ought to do. I agree that as much time as parents are able to spend the children can be useful in helping to guide and direct and influence children in the right direction. The thing about it is let's be honest, right? This is my experience. Let me tell you what my experience is. My children don't want to be around me a lot. They want to be doing their own thing, right? They want to be with their friends. They want to be playing their games. They want to be out there outside doing with the neighbors and so forth and so forth. So they don't really want to be around me a lot. I could tell when they want to, like sometimes they make it a point to come and sit on the side of me and just while they might text me or call me, et cetera. So, you know, tell me they're thinking about me. But after that, they basically doing their life. Now, so what I have to do and what I try to do is I then have to, and we two have our own thing going on, so we don't really want to be around them that much all the time, right, like that. So we have to work and we have to do housework and home. We have to do lots of stuff. So I try to integrate my time with my children around things that all of us have to do mutually. So, for instance, mealtime, right? So mealtime, I try to, let's eat. So now we at the table. And you can't come to my dinner table with no air plug in your ear, no phone in your hand, and so forth and so forth, because no, this is a time where, you know, over that meal, we can try, connect, and share our times. Sometimes what I do, my son, I'm sure he's not listening. He don't know that's what I'm doing. So I will, I'll put something on YouTube that I am almost certain will be of interest to him. And so I will put on like a child or children doing some talent, something, or I put on some nature show with animals doing something, and I will call him and say, listen, look here, let me show you something. Then me and him might spend my next 20, 25 minutes together. Or I will put on a movie that I believe will interest both he and I, and then we will then sit down and end up watching the movie together. Or I say to him, listen, come go with me to the food store, and I will walk. We have a convenience store, so I'll walk with him there. Or I just say, listen, come, let's go walk.
And we will walk by my mother sometimes, or walk elsewhere, and that sometimes. In the natural flow of life, without making it appear that I am insisting or imposing upon any time, because I got to do my thing and he got to do his thing. And so we integrate it into our normal, actual lives to get me get somewhere. When it's time to do some stuff in the yard, I may be gardening. So I say to him, listen, come here. I need you to do something for me. See that pile of shrub? I need you to put that in the corner over there for me. And by the way, while you're at it, water the plants in the front of the house for me, please, and so forth and so forth. And all of this is work to be done, but integrated time. Sometimes we might decide, okay, you wash and I can clean. I can rinse. Again, some time spent. Or he might go to play basketball, and I will just go join him. Right, I've asked him sometimes, I say, well, listen, tell me something. What would make a parent? I don't say me. I said, what would make a parent spend more time with their children? Spending playing games with them, or playing. I said, what you mean? Your video games and stuff? He said, yeah. I said, you have any? What kind of video games you got? Because some of them video games you playing, I ain't really interested in that. He said, no, we could get like the car games or something like that. And so, that's another way of doing it too. So yes, spending time with these children is helpful. And you know what you come to discover? Like people say to me often, I ain't gonna lie to you, they say, you know what, your son has your mannerisms. And sometimes I see that too. So they catch ways of behavior from you, how you speak, how you reflect. And I am all thoroughly sometimes impressed with this 15-year-old boy who, I asked him the other day, I said, Xavier, I said, what matters to you? He said, what? I said, what matters to you? He said, what do you mean? I said, like, what things do you take a genuine interest in and really think about? And he said, my family. I said, and what about your family matters to you or concerns you? He said, their safety. This is exactly what he told me. He said, their health. He said, their well-being. I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. You have good parents? He said, yes. I said, what's good about your parents? He said, well, you all are stable. These are his words. I promise you, these are his words. He says, you all provide for us and you all love us. I said, and how do we show love for you? He said, because you all have an interest in the things we have an interest in. I was like, monkey toe. So listen to them, man. You know, give them a chance to share their observations, their thoughts and feelings about the world. And that too connects you and connects them to you. Sometimes when you get in a car, if you pick them up, sometimes when you get around them, don't say a word. Listen to me. Don't say nothing. Let them fill that silence up, because if they do, it's something they wanted to share. Sometimes you have to prompt them to share, but sometimes just be quiet, drive, and see. Sometimes the whole drive will be silent. Or sometimes you have daddy, or da-da-da, mommy this. And so sometimes when that happens, you hear in their heart. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's always a pleasure. Spend some time dialoguing. And as I leave you today, God spares our life. We'll return tomorrow. But as I leave you, I want to leave you with this beautiful song, dedication to our children. And you all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Don't forget, send in your child's name. Thank you for those, again, who just responded. Send in your child's name, school contact, so we'll include them in the Bahamas Youth Leadership Development Program. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty.
lives inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend.